You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.
Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host for the next hour, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God, all of our listeners, for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayers and financial support that have kept us on the air for over 40 years. And I've been doing this show now for 6 years, and I just sent Kathleen a text message asking if we can change the intro to this show, because she hasn't done this show in over 6 years now. So anyway, a little bit of humor there. Before we get started with our guest, just a reminder that coming up on Monday, October the 10th, is our annual golf outing. We've added the brochure to our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there where you can download that brochure. We can always use more sponsors, and certainly we need golfers, whether you register yourself or a foursome. You can also sponsor a priest. That's one of the great things that happens that day, is the number of priests that are able to come out and join us, whacking that little white ball around. And it's always a good time. The golf's a good time, and great meals. We have lunch and dinner with golf sandwiched in between. So, again, download that brochure and come out and join us on Monday, October the 10th at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. Without any further ado, it's great to have my friend Peter DePalma back. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thanks, Ken. It's my pleasure, actually, to be here.
Yeah, well, it's a mutual thing, you know, and that's the way God operates. And, you know, I didn't know you from Adam 6 months ago, and now over these months, God's brought us together through our mutual friend and Deacon Thompson and Maureen. And all the work that you do in trying to enlighten the world, and literally the world. Peter's got an international audience on a number of the podcasts that he does. I think you're on just about every day anymore. At least it seems that way from the schedule that you send out. And what we're trying to do is enlighten people about the Book of Heaven, the messages that Jesus and at times the Blessed Mother brought to Luisa Picaretta, an Italian girl who spent some 60 years in her confined to bed as a victim soul. But Jesus dictated those 36 volumes to her. She, out of obedience to not only Jesus but her confessors, wrote it down. And unfortunately, like a lot of good books, right, Peter? St. Louis de Montfort had it happen to him. Teresa Avila, they have these great works that they've compiled, and then the church, for whatever reason, puts them on the on the naughty list, and nobody's allowed access to them. And so those books were kind of hidden from us for a number of years, almost 50, I guess, or 50 plus, until St. Benedict XVI brought them out of the archives again and starting to become available. So that's why we're here. I learned about Louisa around this time last summer and hooked up with a prayer group at the beginning of January, and where we're going through those 36 volumes. If anybody's interested in joining us, we get together every morning from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., believe it or not. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it when I first heard about it, but, you know, as God is, if he wants you to do something, he'll remove all the barriers, and he's managed to do that for me, and I'm blessed because of it. So, Peter, thanks again for coming on. So what we're doing, and Peter and I talked about this a couple of months ago, is the last Wednesday of each month will be like Divine Will Wednesday, and Peter's got access to some great guests. We had Father Iannuzzi on with us last month. I think we're lining up Father Celso for the month of August, and at some point we'll get Sister Gabriel on, or Mother Gabriel, I should say. And so, Peter, I want to thank you again for joining us, and I want to kind of go back to the basics. So we only had a chance to talk for a minute before we got started here, and the longer I've gotten into this and introduced other people to it, the more information I'm finding out about. I get links to different websites and podcasts and YouTube videos. And there's so much out there, and it can be overwhelming. Just the idea that it's 36 volumes can be overwhelming. And so I wanted to just try to boil it down as to, you know, what this gift is and what we can do day to day as part of our daily routine in order to grow in this gift that Jesus told Louisa about.
You know, Ken, it's so interesting because the gift of the divine will, in one respect, is so easy. It's for children. And on the other side of the coin, it appears to be so difficult. Again, so ominous. I remember when Deacon John Thompson is the one that introduced us to the divine will. I remember when the first time we got together for a cenacle, he brought out these 36 volumes. 36 volumes? I'm too old for this. I wanted to go back to school a few times for a master's, never did it. I'm not going back to school now. How can I do this? How can I find time? I'm a father. I'm a mother. I'm a husband. You know, I'm a grandfather. Yeah, how can I balance this? And, you know, it's so amazing that God, if you have a desire, God is going to find a way to help you make time, because we all have time. We all have extra time. It's not that we can add hours to the day, but we can better use those hours that we do have. In fact, I remember several mystics that received messages from the souls in purgatory. And one of the things that they mentioned, if they could have a complaint, was that they didn't make better use of the time while on earth. And that's what we can do. And again, it could start slowly. For example, I was fixated on sports. You know, I went to college on sports scholarships. Sports was my life. I watched it on Sundays. I watched it on Saturdays. This was before my conversion. And again, it was hard. We're just going on our anniversary of 24 years without television. And yeah. I'll be honest with you, the first 6 months, it was difficult. I like to watch my Law and Order. But then when I think about it, if you think about those 2 hours or those 3 hours you spend in front of the TV, really, what a waste of time. I mean, if you want a little entertainment, if you have a stressful day, maybe cut it down to a half hour, maybe an hour a day, and then start from there. Now I can't even look at TV. So again, it's all a matter of changing our palate. That's what Jesus says. He says, I'm going to change your palate. Just like when we're, you know, when we're young, we have certain likes in food. Then when we grow older, sometimes those same foods are distasteful to us, and vice versa. Same thing happens with wasting time now. Again, if we're sitting in a lounge chair sipping a pina colada, somebody says, well, is that God's will? Well, it may be God's will to place you there to have you contemplate, to have you ponder. Is this where he wants me to be right now? Or is there something else I can do? And again, I'm not going against, you know, relaxation and downtime. You know, we all need that. But we have to reevaluate what we're doing and how often we do it. Because, again, times are very difficult right now. And they're going to get worse, I believe. And we really have to dig in a bit, not to be fearful, not to be anxious, but we need now to get organized, especially time-wise. And I think that will help us grow in this gift.
Yeah, I know I'm going to butcher the quote, but Father McKay, who I work with a lot in ministry and a full-time job, you know, often I think it's St. John of the Cross that he quotes and says, you know, souls created for grandeur, what are you doing? How are you spending your time? And, you know, when I look back over the years of my life and how much time has been wasted, and I can never make up for all that, and I know God doesn't expect me to or knows that I can't, but it's what am I doing in this moment, and what am I going to be doing in those moments for the rest of my life? And we don't have to give it up all at once. It's one of the other lessons I've learned, especially in the recovery world. You know, I don't think God asks us to give everything up all at once, but slowly but surely we need to give it all up. And Father McKay would often tell the story about the folks that would come to Holy Family Home in the last years of their lives, and when they first move in, they bring some furniture and their books and pictures and what have you, and you know, they'll have their own little private apartment, and then as they get older and start to fail, they'll move into assisted living, and they may have a roommate and half the space, and they had to give up a lot of their belongings. And finally, in their last days, you know, they're left with a nightstand that'll have a couple of pictures and their sacramentals on it. And so God's going to strip us one way or the other. We can do it willingly or we can do it begrudgingly, but sooner or later, we're going to give it all up. And to your point, you know, it's not that we're not giving it up for nothing. We're giving it up for everything. And so, to take the time is definitely, I think, a benefit, and we'll definitely, be better for it.
Sure. Well, St. Augustine, among other saints, mentioned that, you know, the soul is going to be restless until we're reunited with God the way we were supposed to, intended to, and that's the gift of the divine will, to bring us back to that prelapsarian era of Adam, to go back to Adam just before he sinned. That's the goal. That's the end game. That's what is our direction. And until we get there, we're not going to be happy, but we're going to start to experience this happiness on earth as the blessed in heaven do. And again, that sounds so amazing and so incredible. And that's why a lot of people, I think, have difficulty embracing this gift initially, because, you know, to coin a phrase, it sounds too good to be true.
Yeah.
How can that be? But if you read the volumes or listen to the volumes or just speak to Jesus, you know, subliminally, God is going to explain to you through the language of heaven, which is not a different vernacular. It's not like German or French. It's an understanding of the words. Again, he's using the words so we can comprehend, because we have very little minds. And through our vernacular, God is going to build on that and give us exactly what he means using those words. Again, sometimes in translations, you don't have an exact one-for-one translation. It's close. There's a couple words that are close, that are almost. But God is going to make it so that it's very understandable. Again, it does take time, but it could be very quickly also. In fact, Jesus says, this is incredible. Jesus says in the volumes, he says, anyone in the state of grace who has a desire for this gift, he guarantees he will give it.
Amen.
That's a guarantee by God.
Yeah. And
and he means it.
Yeah. One of the, you mentioned, the prelapsarian time with Adam, and you know, you go back and I've thought about this recently. You know, when we read the Bible, you know, we think that God created the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh, and then on the eighth day Adam blew it, and we really don't know how long, you know, what that period of time was. You know, how long did Adam live in that time of the gift of the divine will? And, you know, it could have been, you know, days, months, years. We don't know. And the idea that we can actually get back to that, and that is God's intention, is in some ways it's unfathomable. But the flip side of that is that when it happens, and it's going to happen, that, you know, it's going to be like something we've never dreamed of. And yet there's work, I think, that we need to do on our end in order to to kind of get there. It's a gift. I mean, and so as a gift, we certainly can't earn it. God wants to give it to us. But there's some things that we can do to avail ourselves to that gift. And so that's what I kind of want to get into a little bit. So I mentioned, you know, the group that I get together with every morning during the week, not on weekends, from, you know, for an hour and a half where we read the volumes. Deacon Thompson's great. He comments from time to time, not on every reading, but on a number of them. And we certainly bring in Father Iannuzzi's book and where it correlates to the topic that we may encounter. But as far as the day-to-day living in this gift of the divine will, I know that there's some things that we definitely need to do. For example, the, you know, getting up in the morning and the prevenient act, where, you know, our first thing that we do in the morning is to place ourselves in the divine will and recognize that, you know, the divine will is what we want to live in, and certainly to start our day that way, so we have the best chance of doing it throughout the rest of the day, right?
Well, that's true. You know, if we go back to the four principal components to receive this gift that Jesus gives us, he says, first and foremost, we must be in a state of grace. Second, he wants to hear us ask him for this gift. He wants to hear that, whether it be vocally or subliminally. We have to have an upright intention, number three, which means we want this gift not just for ourselves and our family, but we want this for all souls of all time. It's generosity, it's charity. And the fourth is we must have an ardent desire. And again, what is an ardent desire? I wasn't sure. Well, what is the definition of ardent? Well, Father Iannuzzi did a great job. He extrapolated all the passages where Jesus explains what he's looking for, what are the components of an ardent desire. He put it together, and what we did is we made a visual of it. And that's on our website at queenofthedivinewill.org. It's on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. And it'll show you, these are the components. This is what you must have to form an ardent desire and to comply with what Jesus wants. But basically, Ken, if you think about it, all four of those things are very, very feasible for everyone living today. State of grace, that's up to us, right? We can do that. Ask for the gift, we can do that. Upright intention, that's charity. We want this for everybody. And have that ardent desire, which is basically, like you said, when we wake up in the morning, do we think of the divine will? Do we give gratitude to God? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for awakening me today, both physically as well as spiritually. And then we recognize how truly blessed we are to be alive at this time. So, again, it all works. See, if you this is so great, because all God's looking for us to do is want this gift and begin the process. And what do I mean by begin the process? Take the first step. Open the book. Listen to an audiobook. Ponder it. It's like running a race. God is putting us at the starting line. He wants us to take that first step out of the blocks, and then he'll run the race for us. That's exactly what he does. He'll put us on his back, and he'll run, and he's going to win. So it really is very difficult in the beginning, because, again, we think we're somebody and we're nobody. If we let that go, if we're okay with saying, okay, God, what I've done in my life, yeah, I've had some good points, but for the most part, I've messed it up. I really have. And, of course, you know, you can count all the confessions we've gone through to prove that. God, I don't want to live like this anymore. It's just like, you know, in rehab. You know, I went through, we didn't even talk about this, but I went through an awful time. I was literally attacked. I mean, out of nowhere, I began this unbelievable drinking binge, which culminated into depression and anxiety. And I had nothing to be depressed or anxious about. But it nearly ruined my life, and I almost lost my job. I almost lost my family. And then I sat down one day in a squalor, wherever I was, in some motel or some hotel, and I said, Blessed Lady, I don't want to live like this, but I can't help myself. There's nothing I can do to break this vicious cycle. Please, please help me. And without exaggeration, Ken, instantly I can feel the anxiety leaving, the depression leaving. I threw away the bottles. And it's been 5 years now. Totally. 10 years, you know, moderately, but 5 years totally.
Yeah, it's well, you know my background in being in recovery and that type of thing, and so many people that we've come across that found themselves in the exact same situation where they get to the bottom of bottoms and they'll cry out, Lord, I can't do this anymore, or Blessed Mother, help me. And it's amazing the grace that comes in just that pleading, and how often, you know, it may not happen, you know, immediately or even in the next day or two, but so many people have chalked up that cry, that groan that comes out of them, you know, God help me, and God helps them. And, you know, heard it many, many times over the last 30 years in working with folks that, you know, are in recovery. We've been talking about the Book of Heaven, and just for our listeners, Peter mentioned the website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and even the website can be a little overwhelming. You get down the right-hand side, and all the information that's out here. One of the things he mentioned was the visual aids. If you do a search on visual on that page, it'll come right up. You can click on that the visual aid for the Ardent Desire. He also has the 36 volumes in text and audio. If you do a find on the page for Book of Heaven, and you'll see 36 volumes in textbook and audio book. So, you know, especially if you have a long commute to work, and or you spend a lot of time in the car, the audiobooks are definitely a way to go. And again, I'll put this offer out there. If people are interested in reading the volumes together with us, at 6 o'clock in the morning, there's anywhere from 14 to 20 of us that are on that call. You're more than welcome to get in touch with me and join us in that regard. I also want to give out the phone numbers, Peter, in case any of our listeners want to give us a call. If you have questions, comments, maybe you're familiar with the Book of Heaven and Louisa Picaretta, or maybe this is all brand new to you and you have questions, you can reach us at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, and I know that call that we have in the morning, we've got folks from all over the country, Florida, the Midwest, and some of them may want to call in. The number is the toll-free number, 888-343-2484, 888-343-2484. Be more than happy to take your calls and try to answer your questions as best we can.
Ken, I just realized I didn't answer your question, did I? How do you start your morning? May I before the break? Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I would suggest, and this is what our Blessed Lord explains to us in the Book of Heaven, he asks us to do what's called the Prevenient Act. And basically, Father News, he's got a beautiful Prevenient Act. It's the first page on the website if you want to read it. It's also available in audio. But you can have your own Prevenient Act. And basically, the Prevenient Act is just saying, Lord, I love you. I thank you for this day. I want to live fused in your most holy divine will. I don't want my human will to lead my life anymore. Basically, that's all you're asking for. Again, that's part of those requirements. You're asking for the gift. And now, if you're in the state of grace, God is going to give it to you, even if it's on loan. And then what we do during the day is we do the actual acts. Like, for example, if I get in my car, come divine will drive in my driving. Come divine will eat in my eating, wash in my washing. Again, it's remembering God. It's getting into a habit. Because again, the more habitual we make this, the more natural it's going to become. And when it becomes natural, it becomes second nature. And then eventually, second nature becomes our nature. And that's what we want to do. Again, that's that process. It could be slow. It could be long. And during the day, when we're out and about, even on that drive to work, like you said, God wants to hear us talk to him. And in thanksgiving. And we do that by just saying, Lord, thank you for the beautiful trees. Thank you for this beautiful road that allows me to get to my work. Thank you for the automobile that you've blessed me with. Again, it's gratitude, because in his humanity, it was Jesus' receipt of ingratitude from mostly everyone he mentioned, everyone he came in contact with. So that ingratitude really was the most painful, as he explains to Louisa, in his humanity. So again, we want to make do of that. We want to be able to say thank you for everyone who has never said thank you, didn't know to say thank you, or basically didn't want to say thank you. We're doing it on their behalf. It's, in essence, it's the beautiful communion. It's the perfect example of the communion of saints.
No, and you know what we're talking about. You know, when it comes to gratitude and God's will, and what really picked my interest in this whole area was because so much of it relates to, you know, my friends and especially my Catholic friends that are in recovery. And you know, we know that the only way that we're going to be able to cope with the addictions that we have is through a relationship with God. And over the last 30 years, if I heard it once, I've heard it a million times. People say, you know, thy will not mine be done. And then they go off and do whatever they please. And, you know, I know that there's so many people that mean well, and they want to do what they think God wants them to do. And this is where the gift of the divine will is really, like, it's that on steroids, right? Because from going forward now, once you start to experience the gift of the divine will, it's no more a doing, it's a living, right? So we're, and this is one of the things I've picked up on is, you know, the great saints in the past, they all lived to do God's will. And now we can actually live in God's will through this gift. So it's not, to your point, it's not just a matter of doing things. It's being these things, living in these things, and all of it in, you know, in God's will right now.
Right. I think it all begins with recognizing that there's nothing we can do, how great it may be. There's nothing we can do that can either earn this gift or receive this gift on our own. This is totally a mystical gift given to us by Jesus Christ. It's a gift.
Amen. Might be a good spot to take a break, even if it's a minute early, which is fine. Again, our guest today is Peter DePalma, and we're talking about the gift of the divine will and Louisa Picaretta. More than happy to take your questions or comments. You can call us at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pat Lally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years. So it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world, and wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, Help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. We can't do this without your prayers and your finances, so please continue to do what you can, especially in these difficult times. We certainly appreciate it. I appreciate it, and I know Kathleen certainly appreciates it. Our guest today is Peter DePalma, and we've talking about Louisa Picaretta and the Gift of the Divine Will, the Book of Heaven. And before we went to the break, we had started to talk about, you know, the things that we do on a daily basis in order to try to live in this gift that's given to us through Jesus Christ. And we, you know, wake up in the morning and we pray a prevenient act. As you mentioned, Father Iannuzzi has provided one. Again, it's on queenofthedivinewill.org. And, you know, certainly you can make up your own. But the interesting thing to me, Peter, in these prayers, and maybe some of those prayers are called the rounds, that, you know, it's interesting to me that when we look at this, that it's all without time, if you will, that God brought creation into being with a thought, and everything is happening. And with God, there is no time, right? So for Him, there's no past, there's no future. Everything is right now. And whether, you know, from Adam until the last person that walks on this planet is all, and for God is in, it sounds like it's in the same moment. And as a result of that, we can, in these prayers in the Prevenient Act, in our the rounds that we do, that we take all that God has done and offer it back to Him as a form of praise. And really, you know, when you think about it, that's all we can offer Him, you know, because anything that we've done, anything that the great saints have done, anything that the Blessed Mother has done, was all done, you know, through God's grace. And to be able to realize that and accept that, then really the only thing that we can offer back to God is what God has given us, right?
That's right. And now God is giving us an opportunity, like Adam, to give glory to God on the level of God, due to God. See, we can do it humanly, but it's not the same. It's not like where Adam was. Adam was fused with God. It's like the child who comes to the father and says, "Thank you, Daddy," or "Thank you, Mommy." I'm not using just one gender, but you know, "Thank you," and "Help me, protect me." You know, asking a question. It's all about the paternity. You know, actually, one of the cynicals we had this week, we actually found out. I mean, somebody once asked me this question. This is exactly the way they poised it. Okay, what's in this for God? Why is He giving us this great gift, the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies? What's in it for Him? And basically, he explains it. I forget what volume it's in, but he says it's just basically for us to accept the paternity of God so that God may be the Father. See, God is all love, and our creation is just an extension of that love. So if we don't give the love back that He's given us, then the connection is broken, just like an electrical current. It's not going to work. So all we want to do is give the same love to God on the level of God. How can we do that being human? We can't, except if God first gives us His love, that we take that, we bottle it, and we give it back. That's, in essence, in a nutshell, what the divine will is.
Yeah, and we not only, you know, give back what He's given to us, but you know, the saints, the souls in purgatory, all of creation. And for me anyway, it sheds a whole new light on everything that's around me. Everything, everyone that I encounter every day is, you look at differently, because it's no longer, you know, a tree is no longer just a tree. It's a living creation that God put there. And not only did he put it there, but he thought about it long before that tree was ever there. I love to watch birds. It's my favorite pastime. And I love watching them because, the scripture passage, you know, the sparrows, they don't sow, but they reap. They get the material to make their nests. And it's all provided by God. And he does the same thing for us if we allow him to. So to be able to watch animals and birds in nature who don't have any choice in what they do, right? They have to, you know, try to remain safe and not get torn up by another animal. They need to find food. And they can't grow it. They can't build a shelter. Everything that they have is given to them by God. And when I look at myself that way, and, you know, certainly we're higher than animals on the chain, if you will, and we can certainly do things that we need to do in order to put a roof over our head and food on the table, clothes on our back. But all those things come as a result of the grace that we're given by God to do the things that get us those things. You know, I have the intelligence to get a job. I have the physical strength to maintain my house. There's all these gifts that I've been given that we seldom recognize or think of as gifts. We certainly take them for granted, which is just what you were talking about earlier. When you read the volumes and how often Jesus is grieved by the lack of gratitude that people have for all the gifts that he's given them. And to recognize that and realize it is a gift in and of itself, to realize that we have so much to be grateful for in this life.
Yeah. It's true. And we're all guilty of it, Ken. You know, for example, like when we see that beautiful tree, yes, it's beautiful, and some bear fruit. But most importantly, that tree was created by God to give us a very subtle reminder of his glory, his might, and his love. And that goes for everything in creation, including us. So when we see each other, we have to greet each other in and with the love of Christ. And that's not easy sometimes, especially if somebody's coming at us with a fist or some type of projectile. But we have to see them. We have to see God through each and every individual who's hurting, who may not be acting properly. The same way we look at that tree, we remember God, we remember his creation, and we remember that we're part of it, and we are the cream of his creation. We are the best that he gave, because we are to share in his love. And now we recognize, like Saint Peter's epistle, we are to share in divinity. We are to be divinized. That is a radical term to some people who don't understand it. But again, through the volumes, Jesus explains in a very Catholic perspective, very grounded in our Catholic faith. There's no heresy here. But again, it does take a leap. Like, for example, really quick, Ken, there's a biography of Luisa that was written and published by the Vatican Publishing Company in 2015. It's called The Son of My Will, published by the Vatican. And in that, in the conclusion, two points I like to make. Number one, it states that this gift of the divine will does appear to be the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. It states that. But then it says a caveat. But it does take a leap of faith. It does take trust. And is available to whoever would like it, whoever wants it, whoever can trust. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus said that's the last devotion he's giving. That was divine mercy. Mm-hmm. He knew we would have to repeat that often, because some of these revelations that he gives us, again, they're explications. They're not new revelations. That's Article 66. Although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the generations to better understand what's already been given to us. That's the divine will.
Yeah, and to, just to put this in perspective, you mentioned the divine mercy. So St. Faustina, early 20th century, 1930s is probably when, I think it was the 1930s when the diary was completed. But again, another one of those things that was kept from us for a number of years. And Luisa would have been from the writings. She actually wrote from 1899 to 1936. Is that? I think I'm pretty close there.
That's right.
Yeah, she was born. She had these encounters with Jesus prior to 1899, but that's when she would start putting pen to paper and told to go back as far as you can remember, and write these messages from Jesus. But I just want to put in perspective that we get this gift of the divine will, and then it was almost immediately, at the same time as the end of Louise's encounters with Jesus, that and her writings, that were given the gift of divine mercy through Saint Faustina, and so I think part of the, when I try to explain this to people, they're saying, well, what's new in this? Why, there's been great saints before Louisa Picaretta and the Book of Heaven. What's really different here? And it's quite different, and it's the fulfillment. And Jesus even tells Louisa that he's waited until this time to provide this final gift. And you mentioned a few minutes ago about this divinization that's going to occur for all of us. And I think, or all of us that managed to, get to heaven, if you will. But I think many people think that's when it's going to happen, is when Jesus comes on the last day and after the final judgment, and then this divinization can happen. And I think what we're saying now is that it can actually happen before then, that we can live in this gift of the divine will and share in God's divinity right now. We don't have to wait until we're dead and buried and been judged.
Actually, to your point, Ken, Jesus says the real resurrection is now, not at the end of our lives. It's the resurrection of the human will. See, the human will was created, as St. Augustine says, is the greatest gift, because we can choose. And that's where God grades us on. He gives us these opportunities and sees how we select them. So with this free will, our free will is there so that we may elect to make our free will subservient and to live in God's will, just like Adam did. Once we recognize the intention of God, the beauty of God, the love of God, and where he wants us to be, this is an easy, easy decision to make. But while we're making that climb, it's difficult to understand sometimes because we've got a lot of doubts, and there's no room for doubt. I'd like to just quote really quickly, if I may. This is entitled In Order to Understand. This is in volume 36, the last volume, May 19th, 1938. Quote, this is Jesus speaking. So whoever will read these writings with the intention of finding the truth will feel my flames, and all transformed in love will love me more. But whoever will read them to split hairs and find doubts will remain blinded and confused by my light and my love. My truth produces two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, it's life, giving sight to their intelligence. And for those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of the good contained in my truth. End quote. So again, we have to trust God. And I'm not talking about a blind trust. Okay, there's plenty of cooperation here. Our catechism is full of all kinds of nooks and crannies regarding the divine will. The mystics, the role of the mystic, Article 67. Article 66, we talked about that, how better understood everything will be. Our church is poised, but Jesus says, if the people in the church, if the church itself looks at these writings from a human perspective only, they'll be confused. They will not be able to receive the light. This is divine, and this is mystical. And this requires the gift that God is going to give us. And not to get confused with Gnosticism, to get this gift, to receive the gift of the divine will, that doesn't mean you have to physically have in your possession all 36 volumes. This gift can be given to anyone, even if they've never heard of Louisa Picaretta, if that's God's good pleasure. So it can be available to anyone. But if God has put this radio program or the divine will volumes within our access, he expects us to take the fast route, read, listen, and put everything into practice.
Very good. And, I think today's show has brought, clarity to me. I hope it's bringing clarity to those that are listening, especially those that may have caught our initial show back in March and Father Iannuzzi last month. and we'll continue to do this on a monthly basis. But in the meantime, to Peter's point, there's many resources out there. I encourage you to look them up. If you have questions, certainly, you know, get in touch with me through the through Maureen here at In His Sign. I actually have an In His Sign email address now, because I'll be booking a lot of my own interviews going forward and those types of things. So it's ken@inhissign.com. It's ken@inhissign.com. If you know, you have questions about any of our guests or any of our shows, but especially about this gift of the divine will, I'd be more than happy to answer. And if I can't, I now have resources that can. So by all means, let us know what's on your mind. And again, probably the first place to start would be Peter's website at queenofthedivinewill.org. Also on there, Peter, if people want to get on your email list, what's the best way to do that?
They can just send an email to me at maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org.
That's maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. And he will keep you updated. Like I said, there's a number of podcasts throughout the week. There's writings that he puts out. Keep you up to date with what Father Iannuzzi and Father Thomas Celso and Mother Gabriel are up to. And, you know, for, you know, people that may be new to this, we have, you know, lay people as well as religious people now that are, you know, like a vocation to this gift, right? So Mother Gabriel over in Italy has the an order of sisters now that are dedicated to this gift, right, Peter?
Yeah, actually, Mother Gabriel Marie is the former Sister Catherine, who is the right-hand sister, for lack of a better phrase, to Mother Angelica on EWTN for over 35 years. So many people don't know that. Mother Angelica was aware of the divine will, but unfortunately, when Father Mitch Pacwa went out to a conference somewhere, I'm not going to mention names, what he experienced there was not true divine will teaching. So when he came back to EWTN, he says, "No, we can't participate in this because it's, you know, it's not good. It was good, but there's some mistakes made." Yeah, we've got zeal. We all have zeal. And we have to make sure that we temper that zeal because, again, the church is very patient because it recognizes that it cannot afford to make a mistake. That's why it takes so long sometimes. That's why the canonization of Luis has taken, you know, 20 years. Or so, when, or 22 years, where in essence it should be done by 14 or 15, that's the average. So we've got to be careful. Even Jesus tells Louisa, be careful when you speak about this divine will. And I think we spoke about this with Father Anuzzi. That doesn't mean we can't have the zeal, but we have to make sure that it remains Catholic and that we stay with the guidelines that Jesus and our Blessed Mother has given us through Louisa. And that's easy to do when we have the resources. Last point, Ken, that I didn't answer another question of yours. Once you get past the Prevenient Act and you do the actual acts and you make your rounds and you give glory to God on the level of God, where do you start? There's a plethora of information. There's videos. There's audio books. There's almost too much, but there can never be too much. Where do you start? And my analogy would be this. If you're given a ticket to the Super Bowl for free, you didn't do anything to earn it, and you get to the stadium, does it really matter what entry, what gate you go through? No. If you happen to go through the gate that's closest to your seat, great. You're going to be able to, in quicker time, sit down and do what you're supposed to do, watch the game. If you're on the other side of the arena, what do you have to do? You have to walk all the way around, preparing, getting motivated, getting excited. So it doesn't matter. If you're in love with the Blessed Mother, start with the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. If you love the passion of our Lord and you're fixed on sharing in his suffering, Well, you do that through the hours of the Passion. If you like the practical approach of Father Celso, then you listen to him. If you like the theological approach of Father Nuzzi, you listen to him. If you like the application itself, you listen to Mother Gabriel. There's something for it. Doesn't matter which way you start, because God is going to get you. He's going to hook you no matter what window you go through, no matter what door you go through. It's all there. But again, like we said before, he's waiting. God's waiting for us to take the first step.
Amen. And you mentioned the hours of the Passion, and what a gift that is. And even if we look at the saints over the last 2,000 years, so many of them, if not all of them, have spent time meditating on the Passion of Christ. It's probably one of the single most important things that a lot of them have in common. Certainly Francis of Assisi and John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila. The great mystics would all spend time with Christ in the Passion. And during the Lenten season this year, our group in the morning, we went through the 24 hours of the Passion, and it begins at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock on Holy Thursday, when Jesus actually leaves his mother in order to go meet with his apostles and disciples in the upper room for the Passover, and completes 24 hours later with the burial in the tomb. And to go through the messages that Christ gave to Louisa in that Passion, and it just changed my viewpoint on the Passion. To the point where I've told people, that when Jesus was finally arrested, it was probably a relief after the agony that he went through in those 3 hours of just thinking about the ingratitude, not only of those of the people that have come before him, but the ingratitude of me and you and people living now in the 21st century, that he saw all that in those hours and had to, what more can I do, Father, to get these people on the right page or on the same page, and to the point where in such agony that he actually would sweat blood or have blood come out of his body because that's how intense it was. And I highly recommend it. I know some of the checklists that I've seen on things that people can do or should do when trying to live in the gift of the divine will is to spend time daily in the hours of the Passion, and maybe that's not practical for everybody. But I can assure people that if you get your hands on this particular volume, on the hours of the Passion, that it'll definitely be a life-changing read for you.
That certainly will. Just two quick points on that, Ken. Number one, this gift of the divine will, it's quality over quantity. It's not Evelyn Wood speed reading. We don't just rush through them. If you read a little bit and really ponder it, really meditate on it, and ask for the gift of contemplation, you can get as much, if not more, out of that than if you read all the volumes, in a week or two. That's number one. Number two, on one of our Q&A sessions with Father Anuzzi, somebody asked, Father, I don't have a lot of time. How can I grow the quickest in the gift of the divine will? And Father Anuzzi's answer was, through the meditation of the hours of the Passion. Because the delineation here is, like, unlike the saints who participated in the reading, we have an active participation, because again, remember, we did the preventing act, asking our human will to be fused with God's most holy divine will. So now, in essence, we're participating in God's Passion. Participating. For the first time, that's available. That is the quickest way to gain entry and advance in the divine will. Again, not that we're in a rush, but some of us have a lot of obligations. We don't have a lot of time. So that is what Father Anuzzi recommends. And again, you've experienced it, Ken. It's going to touch your heart. It's going to touch all of our hearts. But again, we have to take that first step. We have to open the book or open up the audio and listen to it.
Amen. Peter, the hour has really flown by, and I can't thank you enough. I was looking forward to doing the show today, and looking forward to doing this with you again in July. I think you were trying to line up Father Celso, is that right?
Yeah, he'll be with us in July.
Very good.
And Mother Gabriel will be scheduled in September, just looking at.
Very good. So I think the last Wednesday in July, I had it here a second ago, is June, July the 26th. And it should be a great show. I've listened to a number of the Father Celso's audios, and I think that this show, especially the work that he does for priests and trying to get other priests involved, because like we're blessed in the morning to have Deacon Thompson, and we really need somebody that knows Catholic teaching, right, and can make sure, to your point when you were talking about Father Pacwa, that we stay on the straight and narrow and don't go off on tangents and get into things that are not part of our Catholic faith or actually go against Catholic teaching. So the more priests that we can get involved and knowledge of this, the better. And so for our listeners, if you have a priest friend that you think might be interested in this, I would highly recommend that on the 26th of July that they tune in and listen to Father Celso. We'll try to make sure we have some questions for him, Peter, as far as what we can do to get priests involved and what priests can do to learn more about this gift.
Sure. And if any priest would like to send me an email, I'll be happy to put them in contact with either Father Celso or Father Annuzzi for basically a one-on-one. They're all willing to do that.
Awesome. Peter, thanks for all you do, pal. Every time I turn around, I get another email from you with podcasts that you're putting up Zoom and everything else that you're doing. And I know you're a busy guy, but I love doing these shows with you, and I look forward to doing it again next month. And we'll talk offline, because I think I'm going to have a break here in the second week of August, and I want to get up to Kunkeltown to visit you. So
wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. Well, I'm just so blessed and not to be canceled, and I'm just so happy to be here with you again.
Very good. For our listeners, thank you so much again for whatever part of the 2 hours you've been with us today, and we'll get together again next week. Peter, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us, and we'll get you again next month.
God is great.
Amen. All the time.
All the time.
Be good.
Love you.
You too, brother. So for our listeners, Peter's just—he's a unique fellow and a gift to so many. He's got literally hundreds, if not thousands, that tune into the works that he does, either on his own or with Father Iannuzzi, Father Celso, Mother Gabriel, and just a wealth of knowledge. And I got an inkling in conversations, just about how all this kind of came about, and the group that I got hooked up with, and nothing short of miraculous, and the way that God puts people in our lives at just the minute that they need to be there, right? God's never early, he's never late, he's always right on time. We may not think so. We as human beings, we want it, and we want it now, and but God makes sure that in due time we always get what we need. So I want to thank you again for whatever part of the 2 hours you were with us today. And I certainly look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.